Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
And welcome to another episode of Nights at the Roundtable. Tis your boy, man, Wheezy. Hope you're doing well. I am joined today by Timothy. Bro, how are you doing and where are you hailing from?
Man, I'm doing really, really well. Manny, I'm here in Abilene, Texas, dude. West Texas. If this is Texas, Abilene is somewhere like right here. So there's Dallas.
I've been to Abilene a couple times. When you're, you know, touring in the Christian industry, you'll do the most random podunk towns ever. Anywhere there's a church, like I've done a show there. Like it's been crazy. All the places that I've been to.
How long did you do that for?
So I did it like, for 14 years. 14 years I toured as a musician. It was one of the best experiences of my life. Like I really learned, I learned what I didn't want as much as I learned what I did. You know, I learned more who God was not as opposed to who God was. It was such an interesting time. And I learned this looking back at it. I'm like, oh, okay. This is where God really was. This is where he wasn't. This is where business was. This is where, you know, Jesus was. So it was
all I wanted to do that for the longest time. That was the world that I wanted to inhabit. And every time that there was a little crack in the door, my toe would get stepped on. And so, you know, 20 years later, as an educator, I still travel and speak.
Okay.
And then as a creative person, that was not the road that opened up for me. Mm. But I still play music and I still write songs and all that, you know, and I'm a dreamer. And so like, there's a part of me that's like, bro, maybe someday I'll get to play music in some podunk towns, you know, and like,
oh, West, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel you. You're a dream. I'm a beyond dreamer. I am an encourager of dreamers, you know, because I looked at your stuff too. I did a little dive and you like do a lot of things as well. I mean, you know, music is something I know that you're interested in, but you also do art, like actual art.
So are, yeah.
And it's dope, bro. Like, so how did that come about? How'd you end up doing?
Dude, that's a great question. I mean, first of all, collage saved my life.
Really? And your collages are freaking dope. I'm going to have you do one for me for real, dude, for real.
I would love to do that. I've got about like 20 lined up. So
okay.
You can jump in line.
Hell yeah.
It's like, since you had me on the podcast, like it's like the Manny move forward. All right.
Yeah.
I'll get you up at the front, dude. Yeah. It saved my life. So I live with, two chronic, mental health disorders. And not to get too deep into the story yet, but I was really struggling with depression, anxiety, at the beginning of the year. And it got to the point where I couldn't go to work.
Oh, wow. So
I couldn't go to work, and I'm a teacher, so it's important for me to be there, right? I couldn't go to work. I had 0 days off and I was still staying at home. And the only thing I could do, dude, the only thing I could do was sit and cut flowers out of magazines and stuff. It brought me, you know, like there's that moment whenever Moses is like with the burning bush and like he hears the voice of God say, like, take off your sandals for the place you're standing is holy ground, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Elizabeth Barrett Browning, she's a poet, she comes along and she says that the earth is crammed with heaven in every bush afire with God, but only they who see remove their shoes, right? So it's an invitation to be present mm-hmm. in this moment. Parker Palmer, God is the breath within the breath, the ground of all being, right? And so the only way that I could not spin out was just by like using these scissors and these X-Acto knives to cut out these precision cuts of flowers. And so, I mean, I was in a bad way, in a dark place, not the first time in my life. But it, you know, these collages were absolutely life-saving. And number two, whenever I told my community of people, like, hey, I'm going back to the hospital again. I'm going to have to miss work. I'm doing these collages. Will you buy one? Bro, I mean, it replaced the income that we lost.
Wow.
It did not to the point where like we're still not hurting, because
yeah.
You know, hospitals are expensive. All of the tangential like stuff on the sides is expensive, right? But it's provided some financial stability. And so I never thought, man, you know, whenever I was playing music in churches at 15 and 16 and 17, and you know,
yeah,
like, collage artist would be one of my taglines, but I absolutely love it, man. I love it. It's all I want to do at this point right now.
It's insanely interesting. Like I mean obviously you hear collage art and you immediately think of something, and it's not like cool dude in a fitted making some dope art, you know what I'm saying? But I saw some of it, and it was like hella inspirational just off of the few things that I saw. You mentioned that you went back in. Is it like most people? Because I feel like most people, the pandemic really did a number on a lot of people.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you this was something that you were living with before.
Sure.
Was the pandemic like a lot of people like not a trigger, but like kind of like the worst kind of scenario to just inflame this type of being, you know?
Well, I think so. So like, number one, like I've lived with mental health disorders since I was a kid.
Okay.
You know, like I was undiagnosed ADHD. I'm 40 now. And whenever I was a kid coming up, like there were not a lot of ADHD diagnoses. We didn't really know what it was. I just got to sit out in the hallway a lot, or sit in like those little cubicle things a lot, and have a lot of teachers tell me they didn't want to see my face or hear my voice for the rest of class. That was my educational experience, because we didn't know, right? We didn't know. But in eighth grade or so, I got diagnosed with clinical depression and started on medication. How did they know? Because my parents, who are phenomenal human beings, noticed there's something happening with our kid and we don't know what it is. So my dad had a pretty deep depressive spell at one point whenever we were kids, and he and my mom just said, look, this might be, you know, the beginning of something. And so I went, I had to take a long ass like fill in the, you know, like the bubble test assessment. And they said, yeah, you have clinical depression. And what that means is, and I couldn't understand it like this at the time, I just thought that I was messed up.
Yeah.
You know, that I couldn't control myself. But what it was at the time, they just said that your brain works differently and it needs something that your body can't give it. So we're going to give you this pill. And when we give you this pill, what it's going to do is it's going to give your brain what it needs. And of course, you know, that was, damn, dude, like 28 years ago. I don't know. Wow. I mean, how old are you in like eighth grade? That was 14, I guess. And now I'm 40. So it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
But really since 2021, it's been kind of like the center of my life. Since April of 2021, I've been hospitalized 5 times. I've undergone 24 or 25 sessions of electroconvulsive ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, where they put you to sleep and they put electrodes on your head, give you a seizure because they believe that it'll jumble all of your neurotransmitters up.
The equivalent of like an Apple restart, like kind of?
Yes, you're exactly right. Okay. It's an Apple restart. And you'll notice, because I have some like memory issues, so sometimes I'm buffering. I'm like, I can't find the word, right? And I know that I'm talking about mental health, but the only word I can come up with instead of brain is like tomato or something.
Right, so right.
Just like trying to figure out like how to put these things together. But yeah, I was hospitalized again earlier this year, and that was my fifth hospitalization. And before it, again, man, before it, I was doing all the things, mm-hmm. I was taking all my medications. Something just wasn't working. And I promise you, man, that I wouldn't be here if it weren't for this gift of collage. I mean, it sounds insane, but like, you know,
I mean, not really. Like it's obviously if you've never dealt with it or live with this type of, situation, it's like, you wouldn't even know what could be a saving grace. You know what I'm saying? Like it's really,
you're looking everywhere.
Yeah. Cause you're trying to find an answer to that, you know, but what do you think it is about this type of art? Is it the fact that it's so detailed, that it's so time consuming, like mentally? Cause I was like looking at what you put together and I'm like, bruh, I did a vision board once and that shit took me like 4 hours to compile something that didn't even look halfway decent.
I think it is in the detail, man. It's just like this, it's a return to the hand. It's like a return to this present moment, because if I fuck it up, pardon my language, but you're like good. by cutting it's weird, man, because even whenever I went into the hospital, like I was like, I gotta have my collage stuff. And so my wife like worked it out with the hospital that I was going to, that I could bring my collage stuff. And I started packing my stuff, and I put my X-Acto knife in, and I'm packing. She's like, bro, you're not going to take that to the hospital.
The knife.
I was like, no, dude, they'll let, man, I'm an artist. I teach art. Like they're going to be totally. And she was like, dude, you can't even have your shoelaces, man. They're not going to let that. So I'm in my room, Manny. I'm in my room in the hospital. I have all these old books, like, you know, like I have them in here. This is the room where I did at the house, and I don't have anything to like cut with. And the Lord is so good, man, because there was an art therapist there, and I didn't think I was going to have access to anything. And she has some safety scissors. And so we'd sit with her, right next to me, dude. I couldn't have a pen. I couldn't have a pencil. I sat right next to her with these safety scissors. And I began to piece together some of the collages that I needed. Yeah, so it's kind of funny, but like collages saved my life. My son's mullet saved my life, and then Reese's peanut butter cups saved my life in the last two years.
Oh my God! Okay, so welcome, B. This is Brandon. We're talking to Timothy, bro.
Dude, this story's been amazing. Sorry, I'm late. I've tuned in. I've been hearing. Yeah, your collages are amazing. You said something earlier that I don't think, two things you said that I've never heard before. One is collages saved my life, which is like so rad to hear. But then two, it's you really broke down in the reason of how it did. And that was like this very like moment where you became so rooted in the present, which you kind of alluded to Moses in this burning bush experience, which is really cool to hear.
Well, I struggle with that like my whole life. Like Manny and I were saying, like I'm a dreamer. And so I wrote a lyric one time that all of my tomorrows steal most of my todays, right?
Ooh.
Like, because I'm always looking ahead, thinking ahead, what's next? I don't want to know what's on TV. I want to know what else is on TV, right? Like I'm always like trying to figure out what's next. And so I think that the journey that Spirit has had me on over the last 2 years has really been, so like when you're majorly depressed, like I've been for a lot of my life, but you become cognizant of it, because there were a lot of times I didn't realize how bad it was. Mm. Whenever you're severely depressed, all you can do is be in the moment, because everything else is too big.
Oh yeah.
But it's not like a positive in the moment, like collaging kind of brought me to, or like meditation, prayer, drinking coffee with your friend, whatever it is for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all I can do is like in 2015, I had a depressive spell that lasted for a while, and my wife was gone. I have three kids. My wife and I, we have three kids. And so at the time they were like, one was in middle school, I guess, Quinn is our youngest. He was a baby. And my wife had gone out of town for the weekend, and it hit, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like deep. And all I could do is like, what's the one thing I can do in this moment? Put my feet out of the bed. my feet are on the floor. Now what? Put one foot in front of the other one.
Wow.
I mean, it was like I have to brush my teeth. Wow. How do I get to the bathroom? And I have these three kids that I'm like, I have to sustain their life. And so that kind of being in the present is overwhelming, but being in the present and like the deep breath kind of presence that I think Moses experienced and that we have access to, is different. It's like a healing thing. But yeah, I mean, I hope everyone goes and checks out my collages. I would love to like transition into being a more full-time artist. And so if a bunch of people buy it, then I'm like good with that.
I will get one because they are so dope. Like I was like, oh my gosh, because it even made me start thinking, what would my collage speak of me? Because it makes it, you know, I'm assuming people hire you so that you can calibrate all forms of who they are into this beautiful like picture, you know.
Yeah, and some people do for sure, and then other people are just like
whatever you're feeling
making, you know, then just kind of go down that. And I don't prefer one or the other. It's kind of fun, you know. And Brandon, I don't know if you have a background in songwriting or anything like that, but like
I work with words. I'm a preacher.
Yes, dude. So then you know this, Brandon. You know this, Manny, that like all collages is piecing together a song or a sermon, right? You have these desperate things that need to be tied together, and so you bring them together. And like the language of my heart, the first love of my life is poetry. I love it, and I speak as well. And so putting words together in a way that makes sense to people, I think that a collage is just a visual representation.
Right.
Of that. Also, by the way, I'm wearing an earring today. I can't. How do I point? Oh my gosh! Wait. How do I point to the earring? Here you go. I literally couldn't do it. I found it and I washed it in my classroom. And I put it in. I haven't worn earrings in a long time, and I said I'm gonna leave it in until somebody notices it.
Bruh, I've been thinking about putting my earrings in too.
The angle I can't even see. So this would be your. I think it's your left ear. Yeah.
Yeah,
the angle that you are on the camera, I can't even see your left ear.
I just saw it glint, and I was like, so my son, my 12-year-old, he's the only one that saw it all day, and so I'm going to, like, count how many days I can wear it before anybody's like, you know, bro, when did you start?
Bro, so you got three kids. What are the ages of your kids?
Okay, so our daughter, Aubrey's 15, our son Elijah's 12, and then our little guy, Quinny Boo Boo, Quinny Man, Q Boo, we have all kinds of nicknames for him. He's the baby. He's eight.
He's eight?
So our life is busy.
And your wife, what does she do?
Dude, my wife is a teacher as well. She teaches art.
Okay.
This is a new thing though. She worked in a church. We both have a history of working in churches, but things got real shitty earlier this year or last year in 2022. It's been a hard few years, y'all.
I mean,
our family, it's been, COVID was definitely part of that, Manny, but it seems like the last 4 years, we just haven't gotten as many breaks as we would like. But she was working at a church with completely like toxic leadership. She resigned in duress out of a pursuit of justice for people who were being treated poorly.
Oh, wow.
Since then, we've kind of been like spiritual sojourners. You know, we've been going through the deconstruction process for quite a while. And she did that and it was just so bad, but she found herself needing to do something new and she got an opportunity to teach. So she teaches elementary art and STEM stuff like science and technology. And then I teach high school art at an alternative campus. So yeah, our house is crazy and fun and moody because I live here and she's such a great, she's a better artist than I am. She's a better singer than I am. She's a better parent than I am. I'm really privileged that she's stuck it out with me this long.
Well, I was going to ask you that, like how long have you guys been married and were you as open and honest as you are now about what you live with when you were back then? Because I'm imagining it's been a minute if your kid is, your oldest is 15, yeah?
Yeah, we grew up evangelical Christians, purity culture.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you guys kiss dating goodbye?
Dude,
hey, we're trying to get him on the podcast. So
no, of course we did. But we didn't.
Yeah.
Not at night, whenever nobody was watching, right? Hey, they were and he felt really guilty about it, you know?
I hear Gene jamming. I love it.
Yeah, dude. So we, I never heard it called Gene jamming. That's awesome, dude. So, like, we, you know, we got married when we were 20. I was, like, 2 months, you know, christened as a 20-year-old. And really, a large part of the reason is because we wanted to have sex, right?
Sure.
Like, we had grown up in purity culture, and we'd already felt all the guilt and the shame, and we were like, damn, dude, like, let's just, except back then I would have said, darn.
Yeah,
punched up all my, you know, secular CDs and like thrown them out the window, you know, but, and there's still some of the simplicity of being simplistic I miss, you know? Sure. The complexity of having a nuanced view of faith is sometimes difficult, but dude, we just wanted to be together. So she's all I've ever known. And I mean, it's been a rough ride in some regards, but thankfully we've grown in the same direction. I tell college students, whenever I worked as a chaplain, I tell college students, they'd come in and they'd be like, Tim, look at my finger. You know, they're like 19 and 20. I'd be like, hey, look at that chair. Let's have a seat.
Yeah.
Because you change so much. But thankfully, we've grown in the same direction. So 20 years, man, she's lived with this crazy dude right here. I mean, you know.
Yeah. That's awesome. Dude, I want to ask you a question. So obviously, you've shared kind of you grew up in this church setting, evangelical setting.
Yeah.
And dealing with depression and stuff like that has been like a lifelong journey for you.
For sure.
In what ways were, because it's kind of a twofold question. Obviously, you weren't given tools within the church structure to help you in that journey. And in what ways were you like discouraged in that? Like, in what ways was the church actually hurting your progress and moving forward in dealing with depression and some mental health stuff?
Well, man, I don't know if it was the church or just like my own brain misfiring, but whenever I was a freshman in college, I'd been on medicine for 5 years, you know, and I went to this Bible study that we all went to. Matt Chandler preached there, and it was called Grace. And I was walking in my college dorm room, and I felt like Jesus was saying to me, man, why are you putting your trust in a little pill whenever you can trust in me, like the great physician? And so I just stopped my depression medication cold turkey. And that was like not good, not good, but I did it. And for 12 years, probably after that, I don't think I was medicated for about 12 years after that. And I thought it was normal to want to like ram your car into oncoming traffic. I thought this is like a normal thing that I thought about all the time. The church was harmful in the sense that we had a Jesus plus nothing mentality.
Right.
We would say that. We would say Jesus plus anything is not Christianity. It's not, you know, it's just Jesus, just Jesus. And so I spent a whole lot of time like trying to wade through some shit that I really was not capable of wading in. And then you add the shame of it. Like, why can't I pray this away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of times my friends that are gay, my friends that are in the LGBTQ plus community will confess, like, you know, that the I couldn't be who I was, and the shame and the guilt and for me it operated in kind of a different way, like I wasn't able to say I'm depressed, because depression was a sign that you weren't trusting enough in God,
right. Or you didn't have the joy of the Lord. Like,
yes,
yeah,
even in my trials, I'm gonna praise you. Like, no, like, I don't want to praise you because I see absolutely 0% like proof that you're in this. And yet, if I say something like that, man, I mean, that's like heresy. Yeah, so it was harmful. I think I was privileged in the sense that my parents were like really great. My parents were missionaries. I grew up when,
oh, wow,
8 years old, we lived in Palestine, in Bethlehem, and then on the island of Cyprus. I mean, like, wow. I was privileged, and they were incarnational people. So my dad and my mom still speak fluent Arabic. They're still involved in like the liberation of the Palestinian people. They, here's the buffering. I don't even know. I was going to say cinnamon roll, but I know that's not it.
But I like cinnamon rolls too, bro.
Me too. Oh my gosh.
No, but I do understand what you're saying, because I remember there was a part towards the end of my Christian music career. I remember I wanted to write two songs, one about depression and suicide and one about masturbation. I wanted to write songs about this. And I remember them telling me that I couldn't.
Hand in hand sometimes.
That I couldn't do it because the songs that I wrote, they didn't wrap up by the third verse. And that's like a non, you can't do that as a Christian artist. Like the bridge or the third verse has to wrap up that Jesus is gonna, he wins or he somehow, everything is good.
Yeah.
And I remember telling them, nah, man, sometimes people's third verse is still shitty as the first.
Come on.
And they need to hear that God is in the shitty too. Like, even if it don't look like rainbows and sunshine, it doesn't mean that you're not blessed, and it doesn't mean that God's still not there. Like, I think this idea of wrapping things up with a pretty bow, it's just not life. I see way more people dealing with the horribleness of life, the hell of life, than people who are like skating around talking about, I'm living in victory. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that.
Well, and I think I'm grateful when people feel that.
Sure.
But I happen to have a disease where my brain lies to me.
Right.
And I don't know about y'all. I mean, do y'all have a significant history with mental health disorders? I mean, mental health, I have to say to students all the time, like, mental health is different from mental illness. Mental illness is a part of mental health, but not everyone has a mental illness, but everyone is responsible for their mental health, right?
Right.
Like, it's right. If you don't maintain it, then it can deteriorate. I'm interested to know y'all's story. I mean, is there?
Yeah, I've battled with some moderate depression. I first noticed it when I was really young, and it would kind of happen once a season would change. So I started noticing, like, why do I keep feeling so sad this time of year? And it always happened kind of that in the fall, kind of fall change into winter. And then once I got a little bit older, there were some things that I was running from personally inside. And so it was like, I was too busy to grieve. And so anxiety and depression ended up being the thing that kind of caused everything to come to a halt.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it was a, you know, it's interesting because when the pandemic first broke out, it was like the best of times for at least my household here.
Yeah.
My mom and my sister came to live with us for a little bit, and we were just doing puzzles every day. We were catching up on shows. Like, it was the best thing ever. And then the end of 2020 to 2021, I had a few friends over for kind of like a New Year's Eve little get together. Nothing crazy. Had spent most of the day drinking and was just having a good time. I end up taking an edible later that night, and it doesn't kick in for a good while. That's why I don't mess with edibles.
Yeah, I'm in Texas, dude. So that's like, you know, I don't, where are y'all located? California?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I'm LA and Nashville. Yeah.
So, couple that. And just about a month earlier, my grandmother, who was like one of the most important women in my life, I mean, we spoke on the phone every single week for years, she had passed.
Man.
And so I hadn't taken time to really like feel the sting of that. And I just knew, like, I miss her. Every Tuesday I'm going on my phone to find Grandma Nina, to call my grandma. And I'm thinking, man, this just goes to nobody. Like, I can't reach out. I can't hug her. This is not real. So I end up getting crossfaded. And in this moment, all my walls come completely down. And I realized a few things about myself, which was absolutely painful, but at the same time too, so liberating. And it was one of the most honest moments in my entire life. And all my walls come down. And I realized at the end of the day, I had been working so hard my entire Christian life to earn a love of God that was already mine to begin with.
Yes.
And I was thinking, I'm looking back over all the years, but I went to every single Bible study. I led prayer meetings. I preached all these messages. I fasted. I prayed. I did all of these things to try and feel this love that was already mine to begin with. And it was like in that moment, like the bottom of what I thought was the foundation of my Christianity just completely sank, and it felt like I was free falling. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my whole Christian life is a lie. Like, none of it matters if I don't actually believe and convince that I'm loved by Jesus. And then it was like all of a sudden it hit me, and I was like, man, my grandmother's gone. And man, I can't believe I just got crossfaded. Like, I spent my whole life preaching against alcohol and I'm drinking now. Oh my gosh. So now I'm grieving also who I thought I was supposed to be.
Right, man.
So there's like three things that all hit at once, and it sent me into like a 5-month depression where it was really bad. And it had been the worst it'd been since 2015 when I was thinking about taking my own life. And yeah, so those 5 months were extremely painful. And I just remember feeling like a zombie. Like, it just felt like one of my favorite things about myself is my passion. I love how I get into things and I'm like fully committed. I love how excited I get over the dumbest things, you know? And so it was like, all of a sudden it was just like this like dark, heavy blanket is just on me.
Yeah.
And there is no excitement and there is no passion. It just feels like, it felt for like those 5 months, I was constantly on the verge of just crying. Like, it just felt like if I actually sit down here in this spot long enough, I'm going to break down and I'm not going to be able to get up. So yeah, so that was the beginning of 2021 for me. And so, I mean, from that point, I've gone to therapy, I've taken some medication, there's been some changes in my life. So, you know, luckily I'm in a really good place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of that right now. Great. So that was a little bit of my journey. And last year ended up being the best year of my entire life. And in all aspects, but the biggest way was in here, where there was just like, and I've spoken on this on a few of our other podcasts, is the amount of gratitude that I live with on a daily basis. It's like, I don't have to force myself to sit here and be like, all right, what are the things that I'm thankful for? Because that shit sometimes irks me. Like, because I'm just like, okay, like, I get it. Like, forced gratitude is better than like no gratitude. But I want my gratitude to be in a place where it's just like wells up in me. Like, I'm just like, man, I woke up this morning, I am so damn thankful. You know, like, shit, I got a job. Like, you know, like, I got a car. I got like all these basic things that I need. And so last year was a huge shift for me mentally and spiritually, because it was like gratitude took over my life and it surprised me. And it's funny because one of the titles that's always stuck with me is C.S. Lewis's old book. It's called Surprised by Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it felt like 2022 was for me. I was surprised by joy. And so that's kind of
for you.
That's currently from that to now where I'm at. So
yeah, Manny, Manny, you said that you were writing songs about depression, anxiety. I mean, was that something that you had kind of like found yourself? Like, I mean,
I'm one of those. I wouldn't say I'm an empath, but I always say that my superpower is grace. I feel like my superpower is legitimately grace and understanding, because I always think about the other person. And there was a turning point in Bible college where this clicked for me, where I had a chance to hate this girl that broke up with me, and I didn't. And I remember it was so clear. I chose grace and understanding, even though nothing like pointed to that. Like, I should have been mad. She did play me out, but I chose grace and understanding. And then the outcome of that was so beautiful that it was like, oh, this is the way. This is always the way, because not only did she come back and say, I'm sorry, but I wasn't like, I had no malice, no anger, no nothing towards her. I just chose to understand where she was coming from. And so because of that, and all my songwriting, whenever it's something that deep, as far as depression, I just channel it from people that I know. My brother struggles with it. Me and him aren't close, but he's on medication as well.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad. I'm sad that we're not as close as I want us to be, but he struggles. He's clinically depressed as well. And well,
and I don't know what it's like to be on that side of the relationship. My wife does. You know, for me, all I know is like the side that does have depressive spells, that does have shame associated with ADHD that shapes my relationships, you know? And so I think you and my wife could probably, you know, connect and empathize with one another, because mental health disorders and mental illness does affect relationships. It's important to
I can't imagine, like, and I mean, have I had some times where I was down? Yeah. Like if things don't work out my way, but I don't like to even come close to putting that in the same thing that you know, you or maybe Brandon has lived with. Like I get into like self-pity more than I'm like, I can't get out of it. It's more like I'm choosing to look at all the shitty stuff and I'm going to wallow in it, and I'm just going to sit here because I want to feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
But then I wake up to the realization of like, man, life is always good, and life isn't happening to me, but it's happening for me. And so I keep that mentality.
And through you.
And through me. Yeah. And through me. So I'm genuinely, and I think I would say people who know me, I don't know, B, you could probably speak into this, but I feel like I'm kind of like a positive dude. I'm a go-getter, yeah. And I don't really
ultra optimistic.
Yeah, I don't. Which
I can identify with that, because I present ultra optimistic. Mm. But it's to counterbalance where my brain can go and does go.
Thanks so much, y'all, for listening to part one of this episode. We appreciate it greatly. Hey, like and subscribe if you guys are feeling this. Share it with your friends. We appreciate it so much. Please come back next week for part two. Love you.
1 And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.